Our gospel today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, starting with verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who was born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the people of God. Praise be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to encounter your holy word, your God divinely inspired text. Dear Lord, thank you for breathing your Holy Spirit upon the writers who wrote these words. And thank you for giving them to us. Thank you for speaking through the prophets. Thank you for the birth of your Son and the journey of the Magi. Help us to journey towards your Son as well this week, through your grace and your leadership and your Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, today's Old Testament reading occurs in a portion of Isaiah known as 2 Isaiah. And so there's 66 books in the book of Isaiah, and they're split up into different sections with different themes. And the big theme in 2 Isaiah, which is from Isaiah 40 to 55, is that Isaiah is prophesying that Israel will return from Babylon, where they've been in captivity, to Jerusalem and get to rebuild even their temple, which has been destroyed. And so what Isaiah is doing, what God is doing through Isaiah, is that God's trying to remind the people of Israel who he is. Since they've been in captivity, they've been away from their homeland, maybe they've been away from worship as well. And so Isaiah comes in Isaiah 42 today, our Old Testament reading, to remind the people of Israel who God is. And so that verse that we read in the children's sermon today from Isaiah 42:3 is one of the ways God reminds who he is. He says, "A bruised reed he will not break," and speaking of the Messiah when it says he, "and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice." You know, Israel probably could relate to being a bruised reed and a smoldering wick when they received this prophecy and these words. Since they had been in captivity, and they've been under Babylon's thumb. They've been away from their home, which have we talked about was tied to their very faith and who they were, and also God's blessing and presence. And so they could relate to these words. And so I think one of the first miracles in this sermon series on miracle messages that I want to focus on is simply that God speaks prophecies through the prophets, that God speaks through Scripture, and that he did so many years before many of these things took place. Skipping on to our gospel from today, you know, the wise men come. They are looking for the baby Jesus. They've seen the star in the sky, but they don't know. You know, it's hard for a star being so high up, it's hard to pinpoint exactly where then the child would be. The star gets them to the general place, to Judea, but then they don't know. And so they come and they ask, they go to the palace, because they think that's probably where a king would be, right? And they ask, where is this baby to be born? Well, the people that work for Herod go searching through the Hebrew Bible, and they find this prophecy from Micah, which is in Matthew 2, verse 5. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. And so 700 years before Jesus was born and before they make this journey, this prophecy was there waiting for them to answer this question. And that is a miracle. You know, what I was thinking about, oftentimes when we read Matthew 2 at Epiphany, we often focus on the miracle of the star. That is what attracts our attention. But I think it's as equally as powerful that this message was there waiting for them when they came to be received, to know where to go and to find the toddler Jesus. You know, it's easy to overlook the miracle of Scripture. And so we want to be careful not to do that. And Herod kind of shows us, too, that we definitely need, we need to approach miracles with the right intention. This is from Luke 23, verse 8. And this is at Jesus, the end of his life, after he's been arrested and he's going to appear before Herod. And it says, when Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been waiting to see him. And from what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. And so Herod shows us kind of the wrong intent, the wrong way to approach miracles. He just wanted to see Jesus and see him perform some trick. And of course, that we know that's not what a miracle is or should be. And then earlier this fall, we had the passage of the rich man and Lazarus. Do you remember that passage? And Lazarus dies. He goes to Abraham. The rich man dies. He goes to hell. And the rich man pleads for Abraham to send back Lazarus from the dead so that his brothers will repent and not go to the place that he has come, into hell. And Abraham says something very powerful. He says, they have Moses and the prophets. And then the rich man says, no, but if you would just send Lazarus, then they will believe. And Abraham says, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, they will not believe even if someone comes back from the dead. So we see the power and the importance of this miracle, of God speaking through the prophets and speaking through Scripture. And so this is a homespun definition of miracles, but in my definition, miracles are from God, they're for his purposes, and they happen according to his timing, and they're not for entertainment, and they're not even to convince people who have hard hearts to believe. They are for God and his purposes and timing. If he wants to use them in that way, you know, so be it, and so forth, but they don't have to be used to do things for people. But they are for God and for his choosing and his purpose and timing. Isaiah 42, verse 2, seems to confirm that. Again, it's talking about Jesus here in verse 2. It says, he will not shout out or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. And so it almost seems like, hey, you know, Jesus isn't going to come and make a big deal about it, make a big show about it, a big entertainment of it. Instead, oftentimes, Jesus comes in quiet ways, in unassuming ways, in ways that are sitting here in this book and that thousands of people pass by every day. And here it sits. Here the miracle sits in Scripture. Quiet, unassuming ways. Ways that don't break a bruised reed or snuff out a dimly burning wick. There's a story told by Thomas Long, who's a pastor. And in this story, Thomas Long is a preacher. And he is a preacher at a university. And one of his former students come back to visit him. And they have coffee. And they talk in his office. And then she says, kind of out of the blue, I have a secret to tell you. And he says, okay, what is it? And she says, I'm pregnant. And he was overjoyed for her. Her and her husband had a baby girl. And she was about 7 years old. And they had longed to have another child. And they had been unable to. And they had given up. And then out of the blue, she was pregnant. And so she had this news. And he says, oh, that's so wonderful. That's wonderful news. And then she says, we just got the test results, and we know two things about our child. One is that he will be a boy. And two, that he will have Down syndrome. And so she said, you know, I don't know where or how we're going to handle it, but we're trusting in God to help us. And on August 18th at 10:55, Timothy Andrew was born and took his first breath. He spent a few days in the neonatal intensive care unit and then went home with her and to his family. And his older sister, Kate, went around the neighborhood and she told people, my brother has Down syndrome and everybody's going to play with him or else. And one evening, they overheard her talking to Timothy. And she said, I'm so glad you're here, Timothy. I will always love you. I'll never leave you. I'll always be nearby. And so there's a number of dimly burning wicks and bruised reeds in this story. And we see the gentleness and the quiet and the unassuming ways that God comes and works and cares for those who are bruised. And then also surprises them with a joy that they may not have expected or known. And Timothy did that for his parents, who they said continue to surprise them every day and blow away their expectations of what a child with Down syndrome might be or a child with special needs might be, and far exceeds anything that they could have ever asked for. And so oftentimes the miracles that we experience and that God gives us aren't the ones that we would have kind of ordered up. They're not the ones we would have expected, but they're the ones that God gives according to his purpose and according to his timing. Israel during this time, they've been given the prophecy they would return. And lo and behold, they did. There was a ruler named Cyrus, and this ruler was from Persia. He defeated Babylon, and he told the Jews that they could return to Jerusalem, and they could rebuild their temple. And you don't usually expect that from a ruler. So in a way, that was someone following in the footsteps of the example of the Messiah by being someone who cared for a bruised reed, in this case, the people of Israel. Most time, rulers were not kind. They forced, you know, those who they held as slaves to do whatever they wanted. And Cyrus let them return and to return to their homeland. And so it's another way in which a message comes in a quiet, unassuming way, through a decree this time from the ruler, Cyrus. There are many things that we can learn, I think, from the miracle of prophecy and from God speaking through the prophets and scriptures. And one of those, I think, is that the answers that we seek are here. And sometimes they take a lot of wrestling and a lot of uncovering, especially if they're questions we're trying to answer for our, you know, personal lives. But I think the example of the wise men and their journey and finding out the answer to the question that they needed is a simple direction for us, a simple nudge for us to say, hey, these answers are in here for us too. It doesn't mean that we can always, you know, find them on their own. We might need a pastor. We might need brothers and sisters in Christ. We might need Bible studies and sermons. God may speak through Scripture in tons of different ways, but these answers are here. And that's one of the things that I hope and pray happens, you know, during this time when I get to preach, is that something that God gives me to say speaks to you in a way that Scripture, God's Word, becomes flesh and dwells among us. And that's part of the power. And one of the messages I want you to hear today is that the answers that we seek, they're here. I don't know how God's going to deliver those to you through His Word, but He can and He does. And we hear the testimony of Micah and Isaiah, who prophesied 700 years before, and these things took place. A second message that I think we can take away from the miracle of prophecy and prophets today is that we need to be careful not to miss the miracles that God does give us, to not fall into the trap of Herod. In other words, to be wanting something different, just wanted a sign from Jesus, wanted to see a trick, right? We're probably not falling into that category, but sometimes we have a vision for how God should answer our prayers. And oftentimes, that's not what God has in mind. And so I think one of the messages that we can take away is to let God lead you the way He wants to lead you and to the miracle that He wants to give you. I know I have far exhausted your patience with my Star Wars references. Please endure one more. And that is that if you remember, if you're a Star Wars fan, if not, bear with me. Luke is like the last Jedi that has been trained. And Yoda and Obi-Wan are his mentors. And they want him to go face Darth Vader and defeat him. And that's the only way they think that peace will be restored and balance will be restored to the Force and to the universe. And Luke tells them that, basically, I can't do that. I can't go kill my father. And they say, well, the Emperor's already won then. And they feel like hope is lost, because they feel like if Luke goes in there and tries to convert his father back to being a good, you know, Jedi rather than a Sith Lord, that Luke will end up being a Sith too. And they'll be lost. Well, it turns out that Luke ends up doing this. And at the end, if you've seen episode 6, Darth Vader takes the Emperor and destroys him, throws him off the cliff, and becomes good again. And then balance is restored to the Force. Many years ago, there was a prophecy that said that Anakin Skywalker, who would become Darth Vader, would bring balance to the Force again. And even Yoda and Obi-Wan couldn't see how this prophecy would play out, and that he would become evil and he would turn back to the good. And then that's at the very end of his life, the last moment, that's how order would be restored and balance would be restored to the Force. I don't know if any of that made sense, but oh yeah, some fans out there. But what I see in it, what I hear in it, is that they thought this prophecy and this miracle was supposed to happen in a certain way. Even the greatest spiritual masters, Yoda and Obi-Wan. And instead, the Force had a different plan. This prophecy had a different way to be played out. So that's number two. Careful not to miss the miracles that God gives us. Number three, be careful that you're not lured by the temptations of power and honor in your life, which are the opposite of not breaking a bruised reed and not snuffing out a dimly burning wick. You know, smoldering wicks, when they do that, it's often because they're at the end of their life. They're frayed, the ends are frayed, or they're broken in some way. And usually you would just discard it and replace it with a new one. But it says the Messiah will not do that. That the Messiah continues to care and to be with and to nurture this little light that's hanging on. And I think that's a powerful metaphor for us who feel bruised right now in our lives. And then the way, too, that we kind of apply that to our lives in an action sense is to try to follow in the footsteps of the Messiah to not break bruised reeds in our life, to not try to grab honor for ourselves, to not try to misuse our power, whatever that might be in our jobs, is probably the most place that that could take place, but it could happen other places as well, in our families even too. You know, Herod, again, kind of serves as a good example of what not to do in this, because Herod was obsessed with power and honor. And, you know, many times what's going to be a miracle to those who are bruised is bad news to those who are in power. Do you remember in Matthew 2, verse 3, when it said that when he heard about this from the Magi, that all of Jerusalem was disturbed along with Herod about this news? And so this was bad news to him because, again, he's focused on the wrong things, power and honor and so forth. Herod had many friendships, but he used those friendships to keep his power. He was friends with Mark Antony and Cleopatra, and then Caesar took them over. And so he quickly made friends with Caesar. And so he built the temple for the Jews because he wanted to make friends with them. And he built temples to Caesar because he wanted to make friends with him, again, just to stay in power. The Sanhedrin was a Jewish group that shared political power with the Romans. And he had different members of the Sanhedrin that opposed him executed so that he could put new people in there that would do basically what he wanted. He had family members he was jealous of. He drowned one of them. He strangled another one of them. He executed many of them. And then on the day of his death, he had nobles arrested and sent to be executed because he knew no one would mourn for him and his death. And so at least there would pretend to be mourning, for general mourning for people, if they died on the day of his death too. Now, again, none of us are going to be people that are going out to do these things. And I don't mean to say that, But I think the example is to try to follow in the ways of Jesus, who does not snuff out dimly burning wicks and does not break bruised reeds. And we can do that in our jobs and our families by trying to walk in the paths of humility like the Lord Jesus. And so that brings to the final message today, which is to try to walk in the ways of this ruler that Isaiah and Micah prophesy of. It says that he would not only not break bruised reeds and snuff out wicks, but that he would be a shepherd and that he would guide his people. And I see a shepherd as an example of gentleness. And so walk in the ways of the gentle Lord in your life. Thank you, Father, for prophecy. Thank you for the prophecy and the fulfillment of prophecy of this gentle Messiah and shepherd who came.